Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Father, as we come before thee today, we thank you, Lord, again for this time that Lord, we can bring your word. We pray, O God, for your blessings. We pray, O God, for your anointing upon this word. We pray, God, that the distractions will go away. We pray, God, that people will totally be tuned into the word. And Lord, what you have to give to them today, Lord, we plead the blood over soul, body, mind, and spirit right now. And Lord, we ask for complete victory. And Lord, we ask for your anointing on the word. And we pray, God, that you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many love the Lord this morning? I mean, how many really love the Lord this morning? Amen. The other day I was at work and Greyhound was training some new drivers. And there was about four or five of them that they brought into my station to introduce them to me because perhaps I might see them at some point or another. And each one of them come up, and the driver that was training them said, "This is so-and-so." And then he said, "Go ahead and everybody introduce yourself to Dennis." And so everybody introduced themselves, and everybody said this name, that name, and another name, and another name. And finally, at the very end, this lady said, "My name is Sparkle." And I looked at her, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "I'm not going to remember anybody else's names that just gave me their names, but I guarantee you I'm going to remember your name. I'm going to remember that name." And then she come into the station two or three days later or come in driving a bus, and I looked at her, and I said, "You're Sparkle. I know who you are. I know what your name is." So my message today, if I had a title up, would be, "Do you know my name? Do you know my name?" I preached a message here quite some time ago. It's probably been a year or so ago where that, you know, a lot of people, they can remember first name people. They remember first name people. Now, everybody knows if I said Elvis, who Elvis would be. I wouldn't have to give his last name. Everybody just knows who Elvis would be. Or I could say the name Conway, and some of you older people would probably know that it's called. Darcy, don't look. She's looking at me like, "Who is that?" Conway Twitty, you know, that we could go on and on and on. Shania, and we could go on and on and on and name all these big famous people just by their last name. But let me tell you something today. There is something about the name of Jesus. There is something about the name of Jesus. Now, there are people in the world today that they are going about and they use his name in such vulgarity. I know that when I'm at the station, I hear people coming in, you know, it's just their lifestyle. They're not doing anything outside of what they're known to do, of how they'll use the name of the Lord in vain. And it just practically just goes into your very gut and pulls out because they're using the name of our Lord and Savior in such a vulgar way. But my message today is, do you really know my name? Do you really know the name of Jesus and the power that there is in the name of Jesus? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 15 says, "When Jesus came to reign of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do men say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' But Jesus said, 'But what about you?' He asked, 'Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered the question. He said, 'You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God.'" Today, today I want to look at that question in verse number 15, where it said, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? The wonderful name of Jesus. Church, today we can go in our homes, we can go on our jobs, we can be riding in the car, and all we've got to do is just begin to speak the name of Jesus, and just begin to proclaim the glory that there is in the name of Jesus. And it's like the song that says, heaven came down and glory filled my soul because of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is vital to the Christian walk. When we look at the wonderful name of Jesus, we're not only seeing his name, but we are seeing his very being. We are seeing his character. We are seeing his attributes. We are seeing the power that there is in the name of Jesus, and know that there is real existence and there is real power in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you're saved, if you're not saved. I don't know if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But this I do know, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And if you want deliverance, and if you want victory, and if you want joy within your heart and your soul, and something you can grasp a hold of, all you've got to do is get to know this man, Jesus. And get to know what he can really do in your life today. Names are obtained by three different means. Number one, a name is named by birth. Number two, it's obtained through an inheritance. Number three, it's an achievement that you have. Now, several years ago, I was named Dennis Allen Clark. I've had that name for at least 40 years, and I'll have it for a few more. God help me. My name is Dennis Clark. We can go out in that world, people that don't know me, they would say, do you know Dennis? No, I don't know. I know a Dennis, but maybe I don't know your Dennis. But church today, let me tell you what, I was given that birth name, and it's not going to go away. Jesus was given that birth name. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31, it says, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He's had that name some 2,000 years, and it's still got the same power today as it had back then. The name of Jesus today. I said there's power, there's victory because of the name of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9. And verse number 6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, he will be called Wonderful, he will be called Counselor, he will be called the Mighty God, he will be called the Everlasting Father, he will be called the Prince of Peace today. I'm talking about Jesus today. I'm talking about the joy. I'm talking about the power. I'm talking about the victory, because Jesus has a name that is above every name, and there is power in that name today. He received his name by inheritance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 4, it said, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited and is supreme to theirs. The name of Jesus, he inherited that name, and it's more powerful than any other name that there is. He received that name. He received the name because of the achievement that he done. Philippians 2, 9 and 11 said, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen to me, church, listen to what I'm saying, look at me right now, don't look at the board, listen to me what I'm saying, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, at the name of Jesus, every tongue's going to confess, at at the name of Jesus, everybody's going to bow down and cry out, "Thou art truly the Son of the living God," because of the name of Jesus today. My God, because of the name of Jesus today. Names are given for three main reasons. Number one, for identification. A name is given because of the office that you might hold. A name is given because of a description. The identification, a name in the Bible times, is given to identify a person. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, "Salvation is found in no other, for there is none other and under heaven given to mankind, whereas you must be saved." Church today, let me tell you something. People can go out and cry to Buddha all they want, but Buddha's dead. They can call on the Muhammad, or they can call on this or that or the other, but there is only one salvation. There is only one way to heaven. There is only one way that one day you're going to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You can give all the Hail Marys you want to give, but you can still die and split hell wide open. You can do this, that, or the other, and do whatever you want, but you can still split hell wide open. Buddy, if you've got Jesus within your heart, within your life, within your soul, heaven's going to come down and glory's going to fill your soul, and you're going to walk with Jesus throughout eternity. Number two, the name given is because of an office that he holds. When a person is appointed to a position or an office, he is given a name to signify that position or that office. When Lori and I took over the ownership and the management of Greyhound, I am now the owner of that, not of Greyhound, but of this organization here in Wichita. And I am now the owner. When there's a problem, the problems falls upon my shoulders. When there's a problem with somebody calling in sick, I don't have anybody else. I've got to go in. When there's a problem with payroll, it's Lori's fault. When there's a problem with this, that, or the other, it all falls on me because I hold the office of the owner down there at the Greyhound station. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 33, again, I want to read it to you. It said, "And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be exalted, the Son of the living God of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." He's got this office when he was born into this world. He's got the office then, and he still got the office today. Church today, as I've read, there's only one way, and that's because of the office that Jesus Christ holds, the Son of the living God. He is the Son of the living God. He is the one that holds the office today, and he will be holding that office forever throughout eternity. Let me go on. Descriptions, names not only defy a person, but they tell us of their characters as well. I read this to you before, but I want to read it one more time. Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the description that I'm talking about, that Jesus holds. These are the things that he holds today, church. He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is a mighty God today. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And he is our soon coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus' name reveals three things about him to us. His presence, because he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I'm going to be too." We can guarantee the presence of Jesus to be with us, because the word said, "Where two or three are gathered together," Matthew 18 and 20, we can guarantee his authority. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 said, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority is in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make all disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He's got the authority to save. He's got the authority to forgive. He's got the authority to set free. He's got the authority to give man a new life and a new way in heaven. Philippians chapter 2, 9 and 11 says, therefore God exalted himself to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and confess. His achievement is also, Jesus is our Savior and he is our Lord. Church, today he is the Christ. He was talking to his disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? They went on and named this and named that and named the other, but he finally got down to the nitty gritty. He said, you might know and who what everybody else is saying about me, but I want to know what you think about me. I want to know who you really think I am. I want to know if you in church today, this is my question to you as time goes on. This is my question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he just somebody that just hung upon the cross and you think, well, that's old time? Is he just somebody that is really a nothing? Or is he really the Lord of your life? Is he really the Savior of the world today? Is he really that person that you have given your life and your heart and your soul to? Whom say ye that I am? The answer to this question determines how that you are going to live your life here. It will determine where you are going to go when you die. Whom do you say that Jesus is? It is probably the most single, most important question that you will ever hear and that you will ever answer. If you don't remember anything else that I'm preaching to you today, put that question in your mind. Who do I say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to me? We can look in the past what men have said during the life of Jesus. Some said he was John the Baptist, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you can look at it in Matthew 14, 1 and 2. Some said that he was Elijah, Malachi 4 and 5. Some say that he was this or that he was Jeremiah. He was one of the prophets, but not all of the views elevated Jesus to the person that he really was, because a lot of people thought that he was not really a good man at all. There was people in the day that thought that he was just a lowly carpenter. Matthew chapter 6 and 3 says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Some thought that he was just the son of Joseph. Others thought that he was a sinner, according to John 9:24. Then they again called the man who was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know not this man, but we know not that this man is a sinner. Some thought that he was just an illegitimate child. In John 8:41, you can read all of these. Some thought that he was a devil, according to Matthew 12:24. Some thought that he was even a madman. But church, let me ask you and let me tell you a few things what the good guy said about Jesus. Simon said in Luke 2:28, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Son, thou art the King of Israel. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The woman at the well said, come see a man which told all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The woman, you can go to Martha, where he said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can go to the dying thief upon the cross, where he said, Father, remember me this day in paradise, Lord. Lord, forgive me of my sin. You can ask the Roman centurion, where after it was all done and said, the Roman guard said, this was truly the Son of the living God. You can ask Thomas, where he said, my Lord and my God. You can go on and you can go on and you can go on about what they said about Jesus, whether it be good or rather that it be bad. But let me tell you, I've only got just a little bit left. Let's ask Kevin who he is. Let's ask Kevin who he is. Let's ask God who this Jesus is. Matthew 3:17. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what God said about Jesus. Matthew 17:5 said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful for God to say, this is my child, this is my daughter, this is person that has given up all of everything and has served me and has loved me, and I am very pleased with them and with their lives. Even the names given to Jesus in the Bible speaks of his position. It says he is called Lord. This implies that he is in control and that he is deity. He is called Jesus. This name means Jehovah salvation. This is the earthly name that reminds us that he was human when he walked on this earth. He is called Christ. The name means the anointed one. It refers to Jesus as the one chosen by God to be the Messiah of the world. Many of these great figures offer many things. Peter said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 17, the knowledge of who Jesus is does not come from the human heart, but it comes from heaven above. So let's ask our own hearts today, and I feel like I'm just flying through this, but let's ask our own hearts today who Jesus really is. With that in mind today, what does your heart say about him today? My question to you, is he just a baby at Christmas time and a guy that hangs on the cross at Easter, or is he the crucified and the risen Lord of your life? Is he a way to God just among many, or is he the way, the truth, and the life? Is he a good man? Was he just a teacher or a prophet? Or he is the Son of God and your hope of salvation? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Lord of your lives today? The single most important question that you can ever ask in your own mind is, who is Jesus to me? What is Jesus to me? We get up here and we sing these songs of Jesus. We sing these songs to proclaim the glory of Christ. We don't come here to entertain you. I don't know if you got that or not. We don't come here just to sing and try to make everything just real pretty. Some of us sing without a voice, as Sister Frieda does, and does it so eloquently. Some sing in their own keys that they have, but we always find where she's at. Others will play a different key. Dad will get in here. We're playing in G. He's playing in C. I said it's the wrong key. He says it sounds good to me. Church today, you know, we don't come here to entertain, but we come here to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to proclaim the name of Jesus today. We come to lift up that name that is above every name. We come to proclaim that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come to proclaim that Jesus is alive, well, and healthy today. Who is Jesus today? Are you trusting Jesus and him alone for the salvation of your soul? Have you faced a time when you saw yourself as a sinner and Jesus Christ was your only hope? Are you trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for the soul's salvation today? Who is Jesus to you? Is your answer one that will guarantee you a home in heaven when you leave this world? Is your answer the kind that pleases the flesh, the world, and the devil? Or is it the kind that pleases the Lord? Are you saved? Do you want to be saved? Will you come to Jesus? Will you answer that vital question today in your own hearts and in your own minds? Who is Jesus to me? The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse number 44, Jesus answered and said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Now is the time for you to come to Jesus. You can watch the news. You can hear the government. You can hear all the things that are going on in the world. Even the sinner man says something is about to happen. Something is about to break loose. And we as God's people can sing the song, soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we're going to live with him throughout it. Sister Frieda, you're never going to have a voice problem again. If there's anybody that's going to run around up and down the streets of glory singing her heart out to the point where people would just say, "Shut up, Frieda, don't sing no more." She's going to say, "I've got a new song. I've got new joy. I've got a new happiness, and I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout unto the end, because I've made it heaven my home." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, "For he says, in the day of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Right now, the question is, what should I do with Jesus? But one day the question will be, what will Jesus do with me? Right now, the question is, what should I do with Jesus? But when we stand before him, the question will be, what is Jesus going to do with me? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and waiting because he's knocked there before. This is the question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? At your sad heart, he is knocking still, longing to enter your soul to feel. You must accept or reject his will. What will you do with Jesus? Or will you leave him alone outside, or will you choose him whatever betides? This is the question you must decide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will Jesus do with me, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed?
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.